Burlington. The only other thing I'm going to add is that we will not have a children's message, but we are having children's church. Also, Barbara Black, who's living in Concord now at Taylor Glenn, fell during dinner last night getting up, and she fell and broke her hip, and she's in surgery now, having a partial hip replacement, so if you'll keep her in your prayers. Does anybody else have any announcements? Jordan? So if anybody can volunteer as a backup, that would be great. We'd like to introduce Ethan Overcash. He's going to be leading us in worship today. His wife is the new pastor at Grace Lutheran in Thomasville, and he is getting ready to start his internship in God's Country in Boone on Wednesday. So thank you for being with us. And if we don't have anything else, Judy? Okay, we have tickets. And I'm glad you interrupted me because I forgot birthdays. And this week, Brian Gardner, Brent McLam, Jane DeBonaventura, Everett Feeney will be celebrating his first birthday. Jim and Jack Conrad, and anniversaries are Danny and Angie Varner. So let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful, and raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Please stand. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Gracious God, you have placed within the hearts of all your children a longing for your word and a hunger for your truth. Grant that we may know your Son to be the true bread of heaven and share this bread with all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Children, may children's church at this time.
The first reading is from 2 Kings. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing food from the first fruits to Elisha, the man of God, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He set it before them, and they ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm is Psalm 145. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you.
They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power.
To make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds.
The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down.
The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season.
You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing.
The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings.
The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. The second reading is from Ephesians. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people? Jesus said, Make the people sit down. Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, It is I, do not be afraid. Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our God and Father, Jesus Christ. It's good to be here. So I went to a liberal arts university. This meant I had to take a lot of classes that weren't in my field of study in order to receive what the school thought of as a well-rounded education. One of those classes I took was a psychology one. To be honest, I don't remember much at all about that class. But I did remember one thing as I read this gospel text today. So here comes your super quick psychology lecture from the person that took one class. In other words, the psychology lecture is brought to you by Google. In 1943, a psychologist by the name of Abraham Maslow published a paper called A Theory of Human Motivation. In this paper, he presented for the first time what would be called the Maslow hierarchy of needs. This theory identifies that there's a pyramid of needs for the human condition. At the top is this need for self-actualization, to become better, to become the best, to reach your full potential, to be all that you can be, to better yourself. If you go lower on the pyramid, you have the need for esteem, to be accepted, to be liked. Even lower, you have these needs for safety, for love. And at the very bottom, right, that big wedge of a pyramid, you have these physiological needs. Needs like shelter, clothing, water, and food. The whole theory of the pyramid as a hierarchy is that one must first meet the basic needs of the body before ever hoping to reach the higher needs. So this brings us today to this fairly familiar story. The miraculous feeding of 5,000 people. This is a crucial story of the gospel, for it's actually the only miracle story that we find in all 4 gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I find it noteworthy that the only miracle to be repeated all 4 times has to do with our most basic needs, the need to be fed. But when is something Jesus does ever simply about what it seems to be simply about? Jesus tells all these parables, heals the sick, exorcises demons, performs miracles like this to teach us about something bigger, right? I've been taught for a long time that everything Jesus did was pointing to truths about the kingdom of God, about what God's true goals are for this world that we live in. This thinking is helpful, and I do believe that it's correct. But it often leads us to perhaps over-spiritualize some things that Jesus says. In this story, it's easy to make food a metaphor. The bread represents Jesus, the bread of life, or it could mean that we need to be spiritually fed by God's word or something like that. Well, I don't think it's wrong to eventually go down those spiritual rabbit holes, and there's good truth to be found down there. We should consider our psychology lesson for the day, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Perhaps before we attempt to meet our spiritual needs, we have to meet our physical ones first. In this story, the story of this miraculous feeding of over 5,000 people, what if the point is the feeding and not some spiritual truth hidden behind it? What if the good news of this story is that God really does care if our basic needs are met? That God cares that hungry people are fed? Earlier this week, I met with other clergy, pastor people from this area. Pastor Matt was there, and we looked at this text, right? And we talked a lot, and our conversation ended up about there. We agreed that it's dangerous when reading this story to move too far away or too quickly away from the food and the feeding of it, the feeding itself. God desires God's people to be fed. Simply put, God desires the world to be fed. And therefore, our deeper takeaway about the kingdom of God is that in the kingdom of God, all will be fed. There will be enough for all. That sounds good and all, but what about those who are hungry right now? What's really neat that I find in the whole gospel is that when Jesus starts his ministry, he talks about how the kingdom of God is near. In Jesus, the kingdom of God is breaking into the world now, not just in some future when Jesus comes back. And as the church, we are to be about that kingdom breaking in business. And that's why it's so important that the church feeds those who are unable to feed themselves. That's why our church, the ELCA, invests millions, over $20 million a year, into the ELCA World Hunger Initiative. That's helping feed people in over 60 countries. We don't feed simply because it's a good thing to do. There are many non-church organizations that do that, and that's awesome. No, we as the church, we feed people because God created humanity, and food is a basic need of the human condition. We feed people because, simply put, God cares about the human experience. God cares about us, and that means all of us, our bodies too. God cares about you, and God cares about me, not just spiritually, as in whether we believe Jesus is with us or where we believe our eternal home will someday be. But God cares about the nitty-gritty, bare-bones reality of what it means to be human. In fact, God cares so much that in Jesus, God decided to take on the whole of the human experience to understand what it means to be like us. So God cares about this human experience. That's good news. But it doesn't stop there. Even though if it did, it wouldn't make it any less good news. We belong to a church body that declares God's work our hands. What God cares about is what we should care about. I'll say that again. What God cares about is what we should care about. My favorite part of this whole story is at the very beginning, before the miracle even happens. In verse 5, Jesus asked one of his disciples, Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" Philip completely balks at that question. He basically says, "There's no way, Jesus. It's not possible." The beauty is in the question. Jesus does not ask Philip, "Where will you buy bread?" No, Jesus asks Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people?" This question is an invitation. This whole discipleship thing, this whole following Jesus thing, is about accepting Jesus' invitation to join God in what God is already doing in the world. I wonder a little about what might have been different if Philip had answered that question differently. If Philip had somehow said, "Yes, Lord." We'll never know, but what if God is asking us this question as well? There are hungry people all around the world, in this country, and also here in Lexington. If God is about caring for the whole human experience, then God is about feeding people. What are we as God's church to do about that? Amen. Thank you.
us confess what we believe with the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Trusting in our loving and almighty God, who abundantly provides the bread of life to all who hunger, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Loving God, we pray for all those who gather to celebrate the holy feast of Christ's body and blood. Strengthen every member of your church in love, faith, and service. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, we praise you for the beauty and abundance of your creation. Send sunshine and rain to nourish crops. Teach us to produce and distribute food with justice and generosity. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, you know every nation, every culture, and every people. Teach us to work together for peace and to love each other, even when we cannot understand our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you hear the cries of the hungry, the sick, and the downcast. Send food, healing, and comfort to all who are in need, especially those we particularly care about, either by speaking aloud or silently in our hearts. Satisfy the desire of every living thing, Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, we thank and praise you for this congregation. Teach us to be a holy family, Christ's body, to and for one another. Unite us in love and faith, Lord, in your mercy. Feeding God, it is your desire for that all the world be fed. Help us put an end to selfishness and the lie of scarcity, so we realize there is enough for all. Be with the ministries of ELCA World Hunger and all ministries across the world and here locally who help feed those unable to feed themselves. Help us to be about this ministry of feeding too. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, we thank and praise you for the beloved dead who taught and fed us in Christian faith. Hasten the feast that will reunite us. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty and loving God, we look to you in hope and trust, knowing that you will do far more than we can ask or imagine through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please share Christ's peace. Let us pray. Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. By your word you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts: freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness: forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. Send your spirit of truth, O God, rekindle your gifts within us, renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. We pray the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and with mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. I invite you to pray your missional prayer. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving union in a needy world.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.